I want to share with you not just what I've learned, but what I'm still learning in CFC all these 41 years. I can never say I have learned everything. I'm learning. A disciple is a learner, and a learner all through our lives. If we are disciples, we are learners. And we learn from Jesus. So that's how I see myself. And I thank God for putting me in the church. I could have wasted my life, ruined my family by being bothered about ministry. Full-time workers are concerned about ministry. And that's what, like I shared with you the other day, God spoke to me in that Baptist church where I came to a crisis, and the Lord very clearly asked me, is your ministry more important here or your need? Is your ministry greater than your need? I said, Lord, my need is greater. I don't care if this church throws me out. My need is greater. And I wept and acknowledged my need that day. My life has never been the same. I had 2 children then. And I think of these 6 children, where they would have been today if we had not made that decision. So I'm extremely grateful to God. Extremely grateful that God led into my life a brother like Brother Zach, who I believe was a Daniel, to lead us out of Babylon, Babylonian Christianity. And I'm immensely thankful for him, Stanny, and their family. Immensely thankful. So, a word that has come to us often, particularly in the beginning, and has come to me in power, I believe is a prophetic word to us, to the church in the days that we live in. It's a passage we looked at often. God spoke to us through it in Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, I think we have looked at it many, many times in all these years. Zephaniah means the Lord hides or protects. I like that. That's how it must be. That the Lord must hide us, that He doesn't see us. I mean, you don't see me, but you see Jesus. That's my desire, and that's how I've prayed, Lord, I never want to share your glory. And I don't want people to credit me with more than what they see in me. I want them to see Jesus. And so that's so lovely. The Lord hides. That's what Zephaniah was. Zephaniah was a prophet after Nahum. And I would encourage you to read Brother Zach's Through the Bible. 6 pages just on this one book. It'll stir your spirit like it did mine. Because I believe, like I said, that the book of Zephaniah is a word for the times that we live in. It's a prophetic word, and along with that, you read Zephaniah and read what Brother Zach has written in Through the Bible on this book. I tell you, you will be challenged, you'll be stirred, and you'll learn to do, at least begin to take your life seriously. It's very prophetic, and it's very relevant to the times that we live in. And through the Bible, Brother Zach says, Zephaniah speaks about the severity and the goodness of God. Severity of God and His strictness against sin. That's the message we've heard in this church for 41 years. And not just that, but Zephaniah also declares the goodness of God to the remnant. And Zephaniah here is speaking to the remnant. And that, I believe, is our calling, has been our calling right from the beginning, to gather together the remnant. We have never intended to be a mega church. Never got excited if our numbers increased and the hall got full. We want a remnant. And I don't know this morning how many of us belong to that remnant. It's those God is gathering together in these days. And that is what I saw right in the very beginning. It's a remnant. And so, like Zephaniah, we will always be unpopular. People make all kinds of accusations against us and say that you think Brother Zach preaches sinless perfection, you think you are the perfect church. We've always said we're not the perfect church. And if you think there's a perfect church, then go and join it. But you will make it imperfect. And I've never believed that CFC has been the perfect church. But I believe that God is gathering together a remnant among us. And that has been our calling. And the characteristic of this remnant you will see in the book of Zephaniah has always been humility. That's the first thing I have learned since coming into the church. Humility. And I'm still learning. It's a long, long process. Like Paul, we can say that I've not attained yet. But I'm pressing on. Forget the things that are behind, reaching forward to the things that are before, and I press on. And that's how it must be for all of us. So, the book of Zephaniah, if you look at it there, and God says some very solemn words in the very first chapter. He says, I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Solemn words. I will completely remove all things, not just from the face of Israel, to whom he preached, and Judah, but from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will remove man and beast. I will remove the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the ruins along with the wicked. And so on. I'll stretch out my hand against Judah, against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There was decline. They worshipped Baal. They worshipped the sun and moon and stars. And we look at today's Christianity, the whole mix-up there is today. And to think that God has given us a privilege to hear the whole counsel of God. And that's something that I'm really thankful for God, to God for, that in this church I've heard the whole counsel of God, which I never heard as a full-time worker for nearly 9 years. And God has some very solemn, serious warnings to his people. He says in verse 7, be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. And that's what we read in through the Bible, that Zephaniah speaks so much of the day of the Lord. If you go through that, it's only three chapters. Only three chapters. But it's powerful. It's power-packed. It's a word for our generation. And it says in verse 12, and this is a word that speaks to me, it says, it'll come about at that time, Zephaniah 1:12, that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I'll punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. And in verse 14, near is the great day of the Lord. And I believe nearer than you and I even imagine and believe, my brothers and sisters. God says he's searching Jerusalem, that's the church. And I will punish those who are stagnant in spirit. You know, it doesn't talk about activity. I know, as a full-time Christian worker, I was with so much activity, I had no time for God, to get to know God. Activity, ministry. But he says, I'll punish those who are stagnant in spirit. And that's what I ask myself. You know, have I become stagnant in spirit? And that's why I say, if you read through the Bible, commentary in Zephaniah, these three chapters, it'll stir your spirit like it's done mine. And so we go on to read there. It says, seek the Lord, chapter 2. All you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinances, those who obey God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So seek the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit through Zephaniah. All you humble of the earth who have carried out his ordinances, seek righteousness and seek more humility. And that's what we read in this commentary of Brother Sachs. More humility. And that really challenged me. I should not think, yeah, that I'm seeking after humility, but more humility. And perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so many things like that, many warnings and many exhortations. But this is a word that came to us many times. And I want to read, first of all, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. Says, the Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, that's the head of the church. When you read these words, Israel and Jerusalem, it refers to the church. The King of Israel is in your midst. The one who has been given as head over all things to the church. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. You want to know where that is? Who has been given as head over all things to the church, which is his body, it says, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is the one in your midst. And every time we gather together, and whether it's here or in our homes when we pray together as a family or with our partners, it says we are to be mindful of this, that the head of the church, the King of Kings, is in our midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love, or he will silently plan for you in love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feasts. They came from you, O Zion. And further down, and you go, it says, the Lord says, I'll give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes. And that the restoration of the church, which the Lord will finally complete. But those words, the Lord your God is in your midst. And that should bring a tremendous awe. And that's how it was. I can think back to that Sunday, that very first Sunday when there was an awe. And I thank God that that has not gone from our midst. The Lord has been in our midst. It says, I want to read that to you from the Living Bible. It says, the Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. Is that a joyous choir I hear? No, it's the Lord himself exulting over you in happy song. I have gathered your wounded and taken away your reproach. And Brother Zach mentions there in his commentary on Zephaniah, that's the only time that we read of the Lord singing over his people. Everywhere else it is to praise the Lord. It's the Lord's people praising him. It's the Lord's people exalting. But here it says that the Lord sings over his people. He's not only in our midst, but he says there he's mighty. He's a mighty Savior. He'll give you victory. And he will exult over you in happy song. That's a word that came to us many, many times, encouraged us, and really made us so thankful that the Lord had gathered us together. And I'm, like I said, I'm so thankful. And I think back, it scares me where I would have been today and where my children would have been. But I thank God with all my heart. And it says there, we go back. I read that deliberately. But who is, with whom is the Lord in the midst? Not with everybody who gathers together. Like I said, it's the remnant. It says then in Zephaniah chapter 3, go back in verse 9. It says, God says, wait for me, verse 8, in the day when I rise up as a witness. For then I will give to the people, verse 9, purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder. God has fulfilled that. We look back, they look back on 41 years, and it was just a few families, and Brother Zach and me and a few families. Some of them fell away, went away, left. And I think probably only one family that was left. But God brought us together to serve him shoulder to shoulder. And I thank God that that's what I see today. It's not just one or two pairs of shoulders. Many shoulders. You know, brothers that God has given us, shepherds that God has given us in Newton and Charles, many others, brothers who are deacons. He has brought us and made us serve him with shoulder to shoulder. And it says there, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers. That's another thing. I want to say that, you know, everything that we have stood for as a church is there, packed in there, if you read it carefully. So beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, my dispersed ones will bring my offerings. We are often reminded that the Lord wants a pure offering, Malachi chapter 1. You know, they offered him what was sick and lame, and they gave him the worst. But the burden that Brother Zach had was that God wants our best. We are not to give him what is we want to throw away. That's how it is, what we throw away. What we can get free, that we want to give to the Lord. But a pure offering. He says, he'll bring my offerings. In that day you will feel no shame, verse 11, because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. And this is the word that has come to us many times. It says, I will remove from your midst your proud, exulting ones, and you'll never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. And that is what we've seen God doing. And I thank God that I can be part of this remnant, that God has had mercy on me. Not because I don't take any pride to say I've been with the church in the beginning. Doesn't matter, a lot of people were there. There were other families who were with us in the beginning. But where are they today? And I only look back and see that it's the mercy of God that I have remained in the church. It's the mercy of God that I can remain in humility. Not just learn about it, but I can remain in humility. And the Lord says, I'll leave among you a humble and lowly people. I'll remove your proud, exulting ones. We've seen God do that through the years. And I thank God for his mercy on me that he didn't let me lift my head up in pride and think that I was something or I was somebody. I would have been removed long back. And to be left among a humble and lowly people, to be a brother among many other humble brothers, to be part of the core in this church of humble, lowly people, their faces come to my mind now as I speak. Not everybody, but those who can preserve the life of this church. And the Lord says that he will leave such among us. And the other thing he says, they will do no wrong. That's something, that's a characteristic of the remnant. They will do no wrong, and this is a word, through the years, they will tell no lies. They will tell no lies. I was in business, and I know how difficult it is in business, particularly in our country, particularly whether it was that time, whether it was 40 years ago, until a few years ago when I finished, the constant temptation, the constant pressure to compromise. But way back, there was a word that the Lord gave me, I think it's Psalm 125. And I've shared that with many brothers in business. And that's the word I claimed when I had problems with sales tax. It was no VAT then, it was sales tax with income tax. And I never wanted to do anything dishonestly. I wanted to do everything uprightly. And God preserved me. And there was a word that Brother Zach had given me at that time when I had some issues. And that's where I think it's Psalm 125. It says that the scepter of the wicked will not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The scepter means the rule of the wicked will not rest upon the lot. That means that's everything of the righteous. So that the righteous don't put forth their hand to do wrong. That's a word I claimed. And when people try to trouble me, and when my workshop was that side of town, and, you know, Brother Zach encouraged me to pray that prayer. Brother Andrew smuggled Bibles. You know, that guy, I was not there in the workshop. He asked my workman, "Where's your boss?" He said, "He's not here." "Okay, tell him I'm coming tomorrow." And I knew what that meant. I would have to bribe them. I would have to do something corrupt. And he encouraged me to pray that prayer, like Brother Andrew prayed. "Lord, you made blind eyes see. Now make seeing eyes blind." I prayed that prayer. The temptation was to close my workshop. But I kept it open. And nobody came and troubled me, not even that day, but all through. So, I see how much God is on our side. If we are willing to humble ourselves, that we will not have to tell a lie. I've prayed many times, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't put me in a situation where I will have to lie." And I want to say that God has heard that prayer many years and continue to keep me, that I will not have to tell a lie. Because that's what it says. The remnant will tell no lies. Nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. They will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. No one to make them afraid. Praise God. That has begun to be living in my life right from that time. And we can experience that. You can experience it, my brothers and sisters. And say, "No, you know, in this, it's impossible to do business." I did business for 35 years. And by the grace of God, I did not have to tell a lie. I did not have to put forth my hand to do something wrong. God preserved me, and I was able to close up my business with a good conscience. And that's what I've encouraged other brothers. But to be willing to humble ourselves in a different situation, and God will preserve us. It says in the Living Bible, it says, "Beg the Lord to save you, all of you who are humble. Seek the Lord. All you humble of the earth, seek for more humility." Like I said, that's a word that I read in through the Bible. Seek for more humility. And I want to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Those of you who are seeking for humility. It says, seek righteousness, seek more humility. So this is the first lesson that I learned right from day one. And God had led us out, and where Jesus is in our midst, there has to be humility, because he said, "Learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart." So the Holy Spirit, there was an atmosphere, there was a air, pure air that we could breathe after leaving the denomination, after not wanting to compromise and for myself and stay there just because the church was supporting me. That I trusted God and said, "No, I will stand for God and His word." And the Lord never let me down. So that is the message that God speaks to us in these days, my brothers and sisters. And if I had to stop with that, that would be sufficient, because that's what has come to me, apart from all the other things that I am learning in CFC. As a result of this, there's never been any smell or strife or conflict, though we had strong disagreements. Brother Zach and myself, and then we have Newton and Charles, other brothers who are part of the core. No smell of strife or conflict. I can say that before God. That if there were temptations, yes, we're tempted to allow strife, we're tempted to get into conflict. But if we belong to this number, the remnant, we'll humble ourselves. And that's what I am learning to do in every situation. Never to get offended. No matter what is said, never to get offended. And that is something that I have learned. So, through the years, I remember Brother Zach saying this is something not only for young people. You know this? Where do you see this? On vehicles? On cars? So when you, all of us started that way, it's a very humbling thing to have to put an L on your car, isn't it? You like to get rid of it soon. But I remember, you know, many times Zach would exhort us, keep it there. Keep it there on you, over your life, all through, till I'm laid low, or till Jesus comes. I need this. This has challenged me, my brothers and sisters. And if I want to be preserved, this, I should not think I've learned everything. I know the doctrine, I know the truths, I know the whole counsel of God. I am a learner. And Jesus said that a disciple is not above his teacher, but he can become like his teacher. That may take a long time. But if I keep this over my life, I will be preserved. Because when you see this, when you see somebody with this L on the car, you a little patient, a little understanding, he or she is learning. You have to be careful also. They may take a sudden turn or something, or break suddenly. So we learn to be patient with one another. We learn to bear with each other. But we don't go on bearing. We come to a time where we can accept one another. And that's this path that I have had the grace to walk on and follow others, other examples. And I want to say that Brother Zach has been a tremendous example. I don't say this thing to flatter him. I've finished with that long back. When I was with the denomination, I finished with flattery. I say this because I really want to thank God, because I've never seen. I looked for a man. I looked for somebody that I can submit to, that I can be under authority, and I never found one. They were all interested in their own ministry, in climbing, getting to the top, climbing over your back, putting you down. So, I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, what we heard many times, and the young people particularly, but it's for Paul. Peter says, you're not speaking only to young people. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. Young people, elders, seniors, all of you, clothe yourself with humility. And I want to keep that over my life, all through my life, that to remember I'm learning. I've not attained there yet. I'll become like my teacher. I hope I'll get somewhere close to that. I don't have many more years on this earth. I hope I live to see Jesus come. But that's how it is. And Jesus said, learn from me. It's a lifelong process. I cannot say I've learned. Learn from me. I'm two things, he said. I'm gentle and humble in heart. And oh, how much I need that. Gentleness. Oh, I see my great need of it, particularly in the home and through the years. And humility. And you'll find rest for your soul. So I've learned that the three essentials to live a truly godly life, we've heard it before. One, humility. Two, humility. And three, humility. I want to keep learning that till Jesus comes. And like I said, if that was all that I had to share, that would be sufficient. Now, because I see that humility is not a virtue, like somebody has said, but the soil from which everything grows. Humility is not a virtue, but the soil from which everything else grows. So, like I said, right from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was in our midst. And so there was an atmosphere, there was an air of that we could breathe, a pure air, and that pure air was humility. That we learned to be willing to lay down, Jesus laid down His life for us, we lay down our lives for the brethren. And I thank God that, you know, we heard that right in the very beginning, I began to learn that, and I still am learning it. Because James says, in James 1:21, it says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And the word implanted can be a word, a strong word I hear in the meetings, and I must never think, no, that's for my wife, she must be listening, I hope she's listening, or that's for my children, or that's for that brother. No, it's for me. And that's how every word that I hear, whether it's strong or whether it's encouragement, whether it's an exhortation, whether it's a warning, that's for me. And wherever it comes from, I've got light from younger brothers, those who have come into the church who have shared something tremendous, and I've drunk it up because it's from God. And so that's been my attitude, that's what I have learned and am learning, to take everything I hear seriously, to judge myself every day. That's something that I've sought to do. Judge myself every day. When I stop judging myself, I backslide. And I've seen that happen also. I've never heard this preached anywhere else. Like I said, I was 9 years in full-time Christian work. I never heard this preached. I never heard, except besides Andrew Murray's article on humility that Brother Zach has circulated many times, which is there also on our website, I've never heard this message. So I'm immensely thankful to God. I don't say this lightly. The other thing that I have, what really spoke to me in 2 Corinthians 7:1, where we are called to cleanse ourselves. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, last verses, God says, come out, be separate. I'll welcome you. I'll be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The unfortunate chapter division there. And chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. I never heard a message preached on this verse till I heard it in CFC, till I heard it from Brother Zach. To cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. I have to cleanse myself. Jesus cleanses me from all sin. How do I cleanse myself? And I've asked the Lord, how do I cleanse myself? It's not difficult to understand. To cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfect holiness in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. To perfect holiness in the fear of God. And there's a lovely hymn that I've sung to myself, particularly when driving. And then I can't remember some of the verses, but thank God for mobiles. You go over to your mobile and you forget all the words. And I've sung that to myself. You know, it's a hymn we have sung many times here. Search me, O God, my actions try. Let my life appear as seen by thine all searching eye, to mine my ways make clear. And a couple of verses there which really speak to my heart, which help me to cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. You know, in verse 3 of that hymn it says, throw light into the darkened cells. where passion reigns within. I pray that to God many times. Throw light into the darkened cells where passion reigns within. We who have sought to get victory over the lust of the eyes, over sexual lust, you know, cleansing ourselves from these sins, you know, in our mind and in our outwardly, is not enough. I said, Lord, there are areas in my life which I don't see. Throw light into those darkened cells where passion reigns within. Quicken my conscience till it feels the loathsomeness of sin. And the next verse says, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers where polluted things hold empire over the soul. And I see that is how I cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfect holiness in the fear of God. I'm not content in just chopping off the bad fruit. I ask God to shine His light into the darkened cells of my life. I ask God to, He says there, you know, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers. There are chambers in your life and mine where polluted things hold empire over this. How do I know that? Comes up in my dreams. Where did that come from? I say to God, there's chambers there where your spirit needs to get access in, so that my dreams become pure. A lot of things we have done in our past life, whether it's pornography or whatever it is, and even though we are cleansing ourselves, even though we seek to keep a good conscience, some things come up in our subconscious because there are chambers there where polluted things. And that's where I've been asking God till today, Lord, you know, like the song says, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control. Motives, why I do something, not what I do. And the chambers where polluted things hold empire over the soul. And I tell you, if we live that way, my brothers and sisters, we can become so sensitive. And it goes on, it says, search till thy fiery glance has cast its holy light through all, and I by grace am brought at last before thy face to fall. Thus prostrate I shall learn of thee what now I feebly proved, that God alone in Christ can be unutterable love. I know I've spoken a lot on that because it's meant a lot to me, it still is. And I see that I can be preserved if I seek for more humility. I'd like to stop there, but a few things that I just skim by. The other thing, I have learned to be a man under authority. I said that earlier. There is a power in submission. I've learned that. To be a man under authority, it's not slavery. It's not being a yes man. And it's not, you know, towing the line. I thank God that we have had glorious fellowship together when it was just Brother Zach and me and now Newton and Charles and other brothers. And like I said, I can even name them. And this is where the Lord showed me, you know, not only to be subject to one another, to be willing to listen to others. I had a problem there. I always wanted my own way. My children sometimes call me a control freak. And I've taken that seriously. In my work, in my business, I was a perfectionist. If I lost money, I wanted to do things perfectly. Because I wanted to do it as to the Lord and not unto man. And I had to cleanse myself because, you know, you want to get your own way. In arguments and, you know, discussions with my children and I am still learning, you know, to be willing to listen to others. There's a beautiful fruit of the Spirit. It says a willing to yield the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, and all that. The willingness to yield, to give in to others. And so, like I said, God showed me right in the very beginning, here is a man that you can submit to. And God put me together with Brother Zach. And I chose to be a man under authority. I see that is my salvation. Because that's what the centurion recognized about Jesus, which all the Pharisees and scribes who taught the Bible, who carried the Bible, did not recognize. A Gentile centurion who feared God says, I too am a man under authority. And I coveted that. Many times I would read that. Luke chapter 8, I think it is. Matthew 8. And I said, Lord, I want to be a man under authority. And I want to live like that all my days on this earth till Jesus comes. Power from our lives leaks out when we choose otherwise. I want to say that. When we choose to move from under authority, power leaks out. Romans 13 is a very good word to pay heed to, that all authority is from God. All. Whether authority in the church, authority in the home, authority in the work spot, we are called to submit to authority, to be subject to authority. And I learned that and I continue to learn it. And if we move out from under that covering, it's a covering for us. We move from under that covering, power from our lives leak out. We become empty talkers. And that's what I saw a few times when I tried to move out of that, from under that covering. God brought me back. And like I said, Romans 13 verse 1 says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So we have seen the power of God manifest in many, many situations, that even, you know, demons were subject to us. That's how it is when God is in our midst, when the Lord, a victorious warrior, is in the midst of the church, and it's a humble, lowly people that God gathers together, there is a power. We've seen that. I can go on telling you about so many instances, but so many, when we prayed for governments, when we prayed for different situations. I witnessed that in my own family. My last two children were miracle children, Anna and Susie. I know the church prayed on August the 15th. I could have lost my wife, I could have lost my child. But I called up Razak. That was the anniversary, and the church was meeting for prayer. And they prayed. And my wife came through that. I remember the doctors holding me, saying, you're playing with the life of your wife and wanting to have more children. I refused to make a decision under pressure there. I said, no, we'll wait on God. My wife she's unconscious. I cannot take a decision. If I gave in to that pressure, I would not have my last child, Susie. That was another miracle. And I remember very clearly, you know, when my wife was expecting Susie, and we were going to a doctor, but when we went, she had a little problem that night, 11 o'clock, went to the doctor, and the doctor checked her up and said, you've got to go to a hospital. Just like that. Which hospital can we go to? We were not in touch with any hospital. And when I came, there was one taxi. We didn't have a car those days. One taxi at the stand. We got that taxi. We drove to Philomena's hospital. So happened that Brother Zach and Sister Annie were there that night. And Sister Annie's brother was the one who told me, you know, come, just come, never mind. They usually don't take cases like that. And when my wife went in and the gynecologist checked her up and immediately rushed into the operation theater. And then afterwards he told me, if she banged against somebody, you could have lost your wife and your child. Because the uterus was so weak, so thin there. And Sister Annie, who happened to be there in the theater along with the doctor and the gynecologist when Susie was born, and Brother Zach was there to really support me in prayer, I am immensely thankful toward Brother Zach and Stanley. And Susie would not have been born. If it was not for the Lord and His mercy, and if it was not for a brother and sister who stood with us. So many things. I'm just saying this to myself. I'm saying this just to encourage you that if we remain humble, there's no limit to what God will do in our lives. The other thing, I'll stop with a couple more. There are quite a few things. I've learned to be myself. I think you've seen that. I've learned to be myself. I've not tried to be like Brother Zach or Newton or Charles. And we have tremendous freedom among us. I don't covet somebody else's ministry. I've been content. Brother Zach used to travel. I've been content to be where God put me, to look after the church, to stay back and look after the sheep. I do not want to travel. There's no competition, no jealousy. And like I said, no strife. This brought great freedom into my life. I want to encourage all you brothers and sisters. I've said to brothers, don't try. And I said to one brother who tried to preach like Brother Zach, you'll destroy yourself. Long back. I'm glad he took that correction. I've never tried to imitate his ministry. And I've never had to conform. When we conform, it means that we are insecure. And we don't really believe and have faith in God's extravagant love. Not just His love, that God loves us extravagantly, my brothers and sisters. And when I conform, I try to fit into a code of conduct to preserve my place in CFC, means I'm insecure. I've not seen the extravagance of that love for me as a son of the living God. You as a son, as a daughter of the living God. And so, you'll never want to conform. The other thing that I learned, which brought great freedom in my life, is that Jesus came in my flesh. I tell you, it's not just hearing it. It was a doctrine in the beginning. And because we were led astray to believe that this was a secret, the doctrine. But I remember that when Brother Zach got light and he shared it one Sunday in the church, and we went through a period of legalism, just following, believing in a doctrine, the doctrine of Christ manifest in the flesh. And that, and certain friends who we had fellowship with said that, you know, that was like a secret ingredient. It's not everybody knows about it. And it brought us into bondage. It brought me, I know, into bondage. But we got light, and when he shared this and I got light, it says in the Living Bible, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, in the Living Bible, listen to it. It says, it's quite true. This is what released faith in my heart. This is what set me free from just conforming and believing a doctrine, which I did. And for nearly 6 years, we were in legalism and bondage. Till one day, God gave us light. It's amazing what the Lord has taken us through. He says there in the Living Bible, it's quite true, 1 Timothy 3:16, that the way to live a godly life is not an easy matter, but the answer lies in Christ who came to earth as a man. The answer lies in Christ, not Christ manifest in the flesh as a doctrine. I tell you, that was one of the points in my life, just like in Emmanuel Church, when we came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I was set free from unbelief. This was something that became so living. That it's quite true, it says, the way to live a godly life is not an easy matter, but the answer lies in Christ. Not in the doctrine Christ manifest in flesh, who came to earth as a man, was proved spotless and pure in his spirit, was served by angels, was preached among the nations, was accepted by men everywhere, and was received up again to His glory in heaven. And that made me want to live a life always pleasing, because I saw Jesus came in my flesh. He gave me great hope, gave me faith in my heart, and that was the secret to an overcoming life. I hope My brothers, you've heard that here in this church. I hope you've seen it. It's not an easy matter to live a godly life, but the answer lies in Christ. Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this dead?" He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." I praise the Lord with all my heart. I'll stop with that. There are many, six other things. Maybe another time I will continue, but I'd like to just give Brother Zach an opportunity to share what is on his heart. This is just what I have experienced and continue to experience, my brothers and sisters, and I cannot help but emphasize, I want to be in that remnant that God is gathering together in these last days. There's amazing things that He will do in your life and mine, amazing things that He will do in us and through us as a church, if we remain in humility. To seek righteousness, seek for more humility. Amen.